Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to Your Questions Answered. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers from What Culture to take on the Q&A community and answer all of your wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. For now, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Phil Chambers. Phil, we are but days away from WrestleMania 37. You and I will be doing the live stream for it on the Sunday night. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday, or even for the first bit of Thursday, and you're in the UK, you have just got time to get your hands on the What Culture WrestleMania Survival Crate from Top Rope Brewing. Some delicious craft beers, 12 craft beers, 45 quid all in. Absolute bargain if you know your craft beers. And if you order it before, I think I want to say 2 p.m. Is that right? 2 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, I think so.
You order it before then if you're in the UK and use the code Here's Why. It's free shipping and you'll get all your beers before WrestleMania. But anyway, as I said, we're looking ahead to WrestleMania. Phil, how are you feeling?
It's gotta be one of the worst WrestleMania builds in the history of WrestleMania. But on paper, the card looks absolutely brilliant. It's like the weird difference between, like, if you just sit down and look at that card, you go through and it's like, well, that's gonna be a great match. 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 There's so many of them. And yet the build has just been so lackluster and just like off the cuff, made up as they go along, done with weeks instead of months ahead, and I don't understand how they've got this sort of weird dichotomy between the two things.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the Raw review earlier this week. I specifically kept it to the red brand, but we were talking about one of the worst builds for Raw to WrestleMania ever. SmackDown for me is much improved, as much as you may want to roll your eyes at a Nigerian drum fight. And, you know, people say, oh, well, they've, you know, botched Edge's, you know, road from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. I don't really mind if it ends at a triple threat featuring Daniel Bryan. Like, three guys who medically should not be in the main event of WrestleMania. I still think it's absolutely spectacular. And as much as they buggered up the build to it, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks is going to be spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the ones that's got to go down in, like, a massive missed opportunity for that build. Because it's just, it's one of those things we've said many times on this podcast and on the channel, that it just kind of writes itself, that one. It's just, who is the best? That's all you need from that. And yet they somehow managed to go down weird roads with Reginald and the tag champions and two matches where no one can lose, where obviously people had to lose. And then, yeah, just Bianca Belair losing on SmackDown for no reason. And it just doesn't make any sense. But the match itself should be absolutely fantastic. And the Nigerian drum match, I'm going to hold out some hope for that. Because so long as they keep it to a minimum and Vince keeps his sticky little fingers out of it, if we get like one spot where someone gets thrown through a pile of drums, I'll be fine with that. But if you just think of what the entrance for Apollo Crews could be, it's at WrestleMania. It's the grandest stage in them all. Fans are back. It's this new character. This is your time. He's been adding something new each time he's come out. Like, he got his scarf and his new gear, and then his little staff thing just seems to be getting bigger every week. Like, if he comes out to some crazy intro of like loads of people drumming, I think that could be really cool.
Yeah, I agree. Did Sting? Was it Sting who had that? Someone had loads of drummers back in the day. Yeah, I remember that. No, I completely agree. And those two, I love those two working together. So they could call it almost anything. But like you mentioned, but on both women's title matches, the tagline is should have just been who's better? Who's better? Sasha Banks or Natalya? Who's better? Asuka or Rhea Ripley and WWE heard. Can they coexist? No. Anyway, let's get to the Twitter question before I stop effing and jeffing. As always, you can tweet the Twitter questions to us at WhatCultureWWE. We'll try and answer them on the news. And also you can follow myself and Phil at Phil My Chambers, at Adam Wilborn. And if, just in case I forgot to mention where you can get those beers from Top Rope Brewing, topropebrewing.com. is where you need to head if you want those beers for WrestleMania.
Yeah, very good. Can recommend the Roman Reigns one in particular. Ooh. I was drinking that on the Fastlane stream and it is very good.
First question today comes from Sarah Louise Buglass. Sarah, always contributing. Thank you so much for this tweet, Sarah. Says, hi guys, what can WWE do to bring some of the SmackDown magic to the show that is Monday Night Raw? Phil, I have to watch Raw for a living. You get the luxury of watching SmackDown. Please fix the red brand for me.
I don't know if you can at this point. I think SmackDown benefits from it. Has its bad stuff, of course, like the tag team division and the women's championship match and whatever's going on with that at the minute. But you get through SmackDown and by the end of it, you're like, oh, it's the main event. And you're kind of surprised that it's already the main event because it's just been an easy watch. It's just such an easy show to watch. And Raw feels like a slog every time you sit down to it. So it's a really played out answer, but getting rid of that 3 hours would help quite a lot. But outside of that, you've just got to think slightly long term, like even a week ahead of yourself. Like the amount of matches that Raw throws out, and SmackDown have been guilty of this too, but nowhere near to the extent that Raw has, of just huge matches on TV that you're throwing out there with absolutely no build, or not just any no build, but no advertisements ahead of time. Like if you set up a match on Raw and it's going to happen the next week on Raw, at least then you know what is happening next week on Raw. You've got a reason to tune in. You've got like a slight cliffhanger maybe from the previous episode about, oh God, what's going to happen next week? And that's the kind of stuff that makes you actually want to physically tune in the week after. And they do none of that. You get through an episode and it's like everything just kind of ends on a full stop and there's like no question marks leading you forwards. And it's just, oh, okay, that was an episode. Fine. And then you watch it next week and you're like, oh, okay, here's another episode. And like even right at the beginning of the show, you get bombarded with all these things about that's going to happen on the show. And some of them you could easily advertise ahead of time and it would make people interested. Like big matches, like was it AJ versus Drew McIntyre or something they threw on? Or just like AJ versus either one of the New Day, I'd like be interested in watching.
Yeah.
And like some of the Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus matches that they did with absolutely no build whatsoever, that could make people tune in. And I think it's just as simple as that. If you start ending your episodes or ending like little story beats within an episode with question marks instead of just full stops of that is a thing that happened, at least then you've got reasons to actually continue watching.
Yeah, and I mean, there's simple answers. Like you say, get rid of the third hour, no more scripted promos, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, my simple answer is, just give us Roman Reigns because he's amazing. And he's just, I can't take my eyes off the screen, even if he's just, you know, sat in a back room bossing people about, basically. I think also, you know, people moan about the trope of like starting the show off with a promo and stuff. And it's not that SmackDown doesn't do that, but I think the fact that SmackDown is 2 hours, you go like promo, that sets up something later on in the show that may well set up the main event or whatever. I think just with Raw, it's like promo and then they have to, an hour and a half later, go, remember when this happened earlier on in the show? And it's like, oh, God, I get what they're doing, but it just doesn't work. Like, there was a week, like 2 weeks ago, they just started Raw with a match. And I was like, well, this is a nice change of pace.
Yeah, that's the thing, because SmackDown's definitely guilty of this. It does it every single week. Mm. But they did it to an extent where it almost informed the story that they were playing out. Because it was like Roman Reigns was the first person to come out on SmackDown every single week for months. And then by the time it got round to like, oh, Daniel Bryan's coming out now, it was like playing into the story that like Roman Reigns is like losing not only a grip on like his position on the card, his position at WrestleMania, his position on the show. And it sort of played itself out in his actual positioning on the show. And you saw a lot less of Roman Reigns on that week. And then like Edge started the show and you see a lot less and less of Roman Reigns. And it's like he's his championship slipping away from him within the build just by positioning him on a show, which is a really sort of, it's like a little visual storytelling method, but it worked really, really well because they'd spent so long training people to expect Roman Reigns to come out first on SmackDown. But yeah, like when you're talking about just give Raw Roman Reigns, that's the other thing that you can always do, is just let people be themselves a little bit more. Like you see it with Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan's had it for a while. Obviously Edge has had it since he comes back. If you just let people be themselves, give them a little bit of creative control, like this Roman Reigns character has completely reinvigorated his entire career. Because it's something that he's invested in and he wants to do. Apollo Crews now, like, more invested in him as a character than ever before, because it's something he wants to do. Like, just these people, they know their characters better than anyone. They know what has gotten them over before in the independents and things like that. They can bring this to a higher stage if you just let them be them.
Yeah, it's the, you know, age-old thing. I was hoping that maybe when Riddle forgot everything he was meant to say the other week, maybe think, maybe less scripted promos. And it was as I called it, as I said, yeah, that was going to be something borderline racist, wasn't it? What's that? He was going to talk about Mount Fuji and underground Japanese fighting robots. Yeah, no wonder when he couldn't get it verbatim, he probably just gave up and walked off. So, yeah, I think you need a massive overhaul on Monday Night Raw. And I think some of the simple stuff, I was, you know, glanced at ups and downs with Miller the other day and saw the like distraction counters, like 40 odd or something in it now.
44 it's on now.
Jeez.
It's like not even been 4 months.
just have like, yeah, have 3 months where no roll-ups, no distraction finishes. Because, you know, you want to invest in some of these matches, and some matches, also just look at some of the matches and go, have we done this before? Do we need to do this? Or is this just filling time? And if you are just picking matches to fill time, how about giving guys that don't get much exposure? Because if all you're doing is they're going, go out there and have a good match for 10 minutes. We saw what happened when they just went, oh, you know what? We need a match to kick off. Let's just have Mustafa Ali and Riddle. And they did it again on Raw this week. They're great together. And you've got bloody Drew Gulak and Ricochet and all that lot just sat in bloody catering. Whilst you're going, and I love him, but whilst you're going, should we have Jeff Hardy versus The Miz again? It's like, I watch that and I go, is this going to inform anything I have to report on the Raw review? No, skip to the finish. Oh, yeah, distraction, roll up, good, 1, 2, 3. That's just simple stuff like that. I'm going over old ground, I realise. So this could freshen up Monday Night Raw. A suggestion from Kibble1810_gaming. Thoughts on Samoa Joe joining the Hurt Business when he returns? I was certainly happy to see him back on commentary this week, Phil, but could he join the Hurt Business for you?
I would love that, but only because I'd just love to see Samoa Joe back in a ring in any form. It doesn't really matter what he'd be doing. I think it'd be really interesting, and then sort of the eventual breakup down the line, because WWE love a good breakup angle. Or I say love a good breakup angle, they just love a breakup angle. The eventual match between like Samoa Joe and Bobby Lashley would be very interesting in a WWE setting. But yeah, I'd just love to see Samoa Joe back. I think it doesn't really matter what position you put him in, he's going to absolutely nail it, because he's just that good.
Yeah, I don't know, not sure if I actually want to see him in the Hurt Business. I think, I mean, whatever this version of the Hurt Business is, I don't see it being long for this world if Drew McIntyre wins the world title. But
yeah,
I see all so these. I like the idea. I saw someone tweeting a graphic. There was a period where people were quite, let's just say, basic with who they're suggesting to join the Hurt Business. But like, if they're thinking, oh, we've lost Cedric Alexander, we need a mint flippy dude, like, I'd be intrigued to see what a heel Ricochet would do if you're going to, you know, make him that sort of, you know, if the Hurt Business are just officially bastards now. Like, it makes complete sense if Ricochet, you know, I know he's goody two shoes, but if he gets MVP in his ear a la Apollo Crews or Roman Reigns with Apollo Crews whispering in his ear going, then really not taking their opportunities with you. And, you know, this is, you're in your prime, and look at what you could do if, in Apollo's case, it was if you murder someone. And Ricochet's can be just, if you join us and you've seen what people can achieve, we beat the crap out of you for months on end. Yeah, I'd be intrigued by that. Samoa Joe, I don't know. I feel like Samoa Joe's going to have such excitement around if and when he does finally return. He kind of has to be a baby face for me initially, so maybe he could take on the Hurt Business. That'd be a hell of a welcome back, Bobby Lashley versus Samoa Joe. Yes, please. But yeah, as you say, I got so excited when Joe wasn't on commentary that week, when they were like, there's a bounty on Drew McIntyre's head, and then
yeah,
that's Baron Corbin. Great. Next question today comes from Luke Cullen. What is the biggest missed opportunity of WWE or AEW in the last 5 years, big or small? I think we can probably focus more on WWE. I don't think AEW have had many missed opportunities, Phil.
Yeah. Biggest. Okay. It's kind of tied in with AEW as well, I guess. But surely, looking at what he's done since he left WWE and what a massive star he's become for AEW, John Moxley's got to be the biggest missed opportunity in the last 5 years for the WWE, because he was there all along. It's like what people say about Stone Cold in WCW. Like, how could they let this get slipped through their fingers? It's maybe not at the same level as Stone Cold, but how could WWE let this character slip through their fingers? It was there all along. He's pitched that kind of character to WWE, and they just never saw it. If they'd just given him a chance to run with the ball for just a couple of months or something with this character, he would have absolutely flown in WWE, and like he obviously has done since. So that's surely got to be the biggest missed opportunity, just looking at that.
That is a great shout. Yeah, I was racking my brains when I saw this. I suppose it's not really, is it a missed opportunity if you eventually get there? But like, when you see what Roman Reigns has achieved as a heel in what, 8-9 months?
Yeah.
And you're like, why are we sat there for, because we're like 5 years on from people going, turn him heel, turn him heel, turn him heel. Like WrestleMania 32, it was him versus Trips, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, come on, mate. I know you shouldn't have turned him heel necessarily for that feud in particular, but the fact it took a bloody global pandemic, him going away, him obviously, and this isn't part of it, but, you know, him suffering from leukemia and having to go away on other occasions and stuff. It's annoying that it's taken this much and that he still hasn't. And it's weird because it's going to be akin to someone like MJF, where when he comes out of WrestleMania, the more he gets booed, the more it's like, I know I'm meant to boo you, so I'll boo you, but I bloody love you, basically. That's, if I was in attendance, that is exactly what I'd be doing. I'd be booing him out of the building out of love, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these crowd reactions when we finally get them, because it's been so long, and we all know how WWE want the crowd to perceive people and how they want them to react, but they never quite understand how they actually react to these people. And it's been a long time since we've had that, so I'd be very interested to see what those crowd reactions are like. But I hope he's one of those people that you just love to hate, but you do actually boo him instead of just cheering him, because it's a fine line of just sort of becoming too good and too cool being a heel that people start to cheer you. But I think he's got just enough bastard in him to keep people hating him, keep those boos raining in.
Yeah, it's like all mushing around in my head, multiple women's championships matches from WrestleMania. I'm thinking, the obvious one being Shayna Baszler. I genuinely couldn't believe Shayna Baszler lost last year.
Yeah.
It was, and was that one of the first matches we covered, or was that the first night, actually? Maybe we weren't even doing that one.
I think it was the first night.
It might have been the first night, because I feel like the other one was another one we watched, was Rhea Ripley. And I was like, why is she submitted to Charlotte Flair?
And now she's losing to Natalya via roll up in like 20 seconds on SmackDown.
Yeah, maybe why my opinion of like night one, or part one, as they're calling it here, of WrestleMania was so skewed is, start off, tag match, fine. Elias King Corbin, that went 9 minutes, great. And then Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler went 8 minutes and 30 seconds here. And she just got pinned in the same way she got pinned like once in NXT and then learned from it and then won the title back, if I'm not mistaken. Baffling that. And then the Rhea Ripley one. And I suppose you can roll it back to Asuka and Charlotte Flair at 34, where you're like, she's world champion. She's been world champion on multiple occasions, and she's recognised for the amazing talent she is now. How on earth didn't you put the title on Asuka first when she won the sodding Rumble? She won the first Rumble.
Coming straight off that huge undefeated streak in NXT as well. I think there's a lot of missed opportunities in terms of bringing up NXT people. Weirdly enough, Damian Priest seems like the one they've done the best in recent years, just because they picked put him with Bad Bunny in a feud that he can't possibly lose. So he's on to a winner, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's talk. Miz and Morrison beating them at Mania.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's talk a little bit more about WrestleMania, because a regular contributor, both on Twitter and on our live streams, Eric Vasquez, great to hear from you, Eric, says, what are you most looking forward to during WrestleMania 37? We're kind of spoilt for choice on the second night, really, aren't we, Phil?
There is a lot. I can't remember the order of things, but just Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn on a WrestleMania stage. Let's hope
with Logan Paul probably in a stunner in there.
Yeah, I imagine. I hope it's only that and it doesn't get a little too much Logan Paul-y. Although I actually thought he was pretty good on SmackDown. Like, he played his part quite well. It was understated, which I think is what you need from these people. He didn't steal any of the limelight from Sami and KO. But yeah, that's gonna be amazing. Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. I don't think Cesaro and Seth Rollins will allow Cesaro's first ever singles match at WrestleMania to be a bad match. I think those two are going to go all out for that to make it great. And then just, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks is going to be great. Hopefully ignore all of the build and just focus on the match on it, as its own little entity, completely ignoring everything else. The main event, though, is the one that I've got to be looking forward to the most. Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan versus Edge has just been easily the longest built match. Went a little bit off the rails for a little bit, although I do wonder if this was actually just the plan all along and Edge just wanted to turn heel and this is the way of doing it.
He's better as a heel.
Yeah. I think he prefers playing a heel as well, doesn't he? He's always said in his interviews and things. So yeah, I think that's the one where it's like, I genuinely can't call it, which helps as well. And I genuinely will be okay with any of the three of them winning it. So I don't think you can lose. You've got Daniel Bryan as the scrappy underdog babyface against the two asshole heels in triple threat. So you're going to have a bunch of chairs and whatever in there because it's no DQ in a triple threat match. I don't think that can miss at all as a main event Mania. I think that's going to be absolutely fantastic.
It transformed that match for me from a match I was always going to be looking forward to and a main event I was, really hoping we'd get on night two of the stream, for example.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, a match that I knew the result of. Plucky Edge, 20 minutes, great match, but Roman wins, Roman retains, and Roman may hold the title for another bloody year till next year's WrestleMania. Two, you could put an argument forward for any of these three. I think Edge is probably least likely to leave with the championship.
Yeah.
But it's suddenly gone, from a nailed-on great match, but a Roman Reigns retention to... I mean, if Daniel Bryan's got this bloody fall, what's to stop him from leaving as Universal Champion? I look at this night two card, and it's all killer, no filler for me. I mean, depending on who wins that tag team turmoil, if our dreams come true.
Bailey and Billy Kay.
Bailey and Billy Kay, Carmella and Billy Kay.
Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. Yeah, and Billy Kay. Anyone and Billy Kay, basically.
Yeah. I'd love Bailey to get some form of bloody match. It's astonishing she's not on this card at the moment at time of recording. It. But you look at that. We got Riddle versus Sheamus. Sheamus has just been banging out great matches. Hamlet's booked that to go 18 seconds, which I'm quite intrigued by. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, like you say, it's the weirdest build ever for these two, but nevertheless, it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the first time in years, it feels like. So that's going to be great. Nigerian drum fight, Fiend Randy Orton. I am here for this. Not for the right reasons, but I'm here for it. Asuka Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship. And then, yeah, the main event, Universal Championship, Daniel Bryan, Edge, Roman Reigns. Oh, I cannot wait for that. Well, from a pay-per-view, we are very much looking forward to Noob Heroes question. Least favorite pay-per-view of all time. You mentioned to me, and I completely forgot about this, that we've done this for a Talking Heads thing. Remind me of your choice.
Yeah, I'm going to recycle pretty much the same answer because it's still my least favorite. It's not the worst show of all time, I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one of those just WWE meh shows. But Armageddon 2003, it was the one where at the end, like, Evolution had just won all the belts, but it was just like every step of them getting to all the belts was just really boring and just inevitable. It had some stupid tag team turmoil match that Evolution just buried the entire tag team roster, obviously, because that's what they do. I do feel bad because I think there was a Molly Holly match on there, so I'm not going to include that one in the bad.
Yes.
It's basically, it was all completely meh, but it was, I think the best match on the card was some Eric Bischoff battle of the sexes between Jericho and Christian going up against Trish Stratus and Lita. And like, it says quite a lot that was like quite by far the best match on the card in terms of entertainment value. But yeah, it was just like one of those really meh matches, meh pay-per-views, but it's my least favorite because it's the moment where I just realized I don't think I need to watch wrestling anymore in my life. And I think what a lot of people go to, like, they start watching wrestling as a kid and then they might come back to it later on in life. But they generally, I think everyone I know, apart from Ben Roy, has a little dark ages of like,
Ben Roy and Hamlet, yeah.
Yeah. Where you've just gone, all right, this is enough. And I was in like college, I think at last year of college. So I will have been like 17 or 18. And I just sort of realized to myself, like, do I need to be watching this in my life these days? Because WWE had gotten really bad at that point.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I stopped watching wrestling, and it wasn't until like 2007 or 2008 or something that I started watching it again. So yeah, that's why it's my least favorite, because it turned me off wrestling.
If you're screaming at the podcast now, I will say that as part of that Talking Heads thing, we banned anyone from mentioning December to Dismember, because that's just an out and out awful show. There's some good stuff on there. Hardy Boys and Eminem. It was good, but it's, what was it, like 2 hours? It was really short for what should be. And then the Extreme Elimination Chamber lives long in the memory. My pick, though, if I remember rightly, I'm just looking back on this list of 10 worst WWE pay-per-views. Backlash 2018. Oh, yeah. Roman Reigns versus Samoa.
Oh, yeah. The big walkout.
Oh, yeah. Carmella beat Asuka. Oh, it's rough. Oh, Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. Yep. Clash of Champions 2017 is also on this list. Oh, it's the one with the double referees, Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. Both being referees.
Of course.
Oh, and Bludgeon Brothers. They were a thing, weren't they?
Shattered Skulls.
Broken Bones. Oh, wait, was Backlash also the one with the kick in the dick? It must have been. Yeah.
Yeah. And the start of whatever that feud was. Dream match ruined.
Just looking back, they had a rough time after WrestleMania 36, obviously with lockdown, ongoing global bastard and all that. And like, there was like flashes of good stuff. I didn't like Backlash, mainly because the Iconics didn't win the tag titles, I'm sure. But like, you had the Asuka Nia Jax match that just went to double count out. You had Braun Strowman defending the title in a handicap match against The Miz and John Morrison. Randy Orton and Edge, good. They salvaged their dreadful WrestleMania match. And then I was like, what came after that? Oh, yeah, the horror show at Extreme Rules, which started great. Kevin Owens, Murphy. I'm sure that was, I don't remember it, to be honest. It was probably just like a TV match that just went on, according to Wikipedia. Yeah. Cesaro and Nakamura beating The New Day in that tables match. I remember that being good.
That was good fun, that, actually, yeah.
Bayley beating Nikki Cross. Oh, so we're on a roll here. You know, yeah. Bayley defends SmackDown Women's Championship. Eye for an eye match. Asuka and Sasha Banks go to a no contest. Drew McIntyre defeats Dolph Ziggler, but it's an Extreme Rules match only for Dolph Ziggler.
And then that was when he could pick the stipulation.
And the bloody swamp fight. So, yeah. It only got good at SummerSlam when Roman showed up, basically. That was some good stuff, actually. Mandy Rose on SummerSlam wasn't bad. But my pick, as always, for this... Yeah, I don't even remember if I watched it at the time or I heard Brian Alvarez and Vinny talking about it and went, well, I have to watch this. But it's obvious, you know, this is the Sting Jeff Hardy thing. But the thing is, that's not the whole reason this is a bad pay-per-view. They'd had like a great pay-per-view and then that was the main event. Obviously, your overriding feeling would be like, what? Why has Bischoff walked out, killed time, and then just watched Jeff Hardy get held down basically by Sting after one random Scorpion death drop? Look at what else is on this bloody card. Mr. Anderson, Rob Van Dam, a match I still remember to this day because it ended in a double count out. And then there was the chant, which was restart the match. No, restart the match. No. And let's not forget also Hernandez versus Matt Morgan, first blood match where I think Hernandez squirted blood on Matt Morgan. He had it in a little bottle.
Cool.
Just piss off. I've just seen a tweet from my wife here, Phil. Who would win in a fight? Me or you, basically. You, isn't it? It's you, let's be honest. You've actually taken bumps. I've never taken a bump in my life. And you're very Scrappy-Doo, it strikes.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd go full Scrappy-Doo in a fight and just go kicking the nads as fast as possible.
Yeah, I really don't want to see that one play. I think her and Mim would still beat both of us, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, I think so too.
Edward Shiraz Hans. Oh, great to get a question from you. Always joins us on the streams as well. Edward writes, g'day, gents. Could you see any other AEW wrestlers on Stone Cold's podcast? Of course, Chris Jericho was on there recently. Maybe MJF in full-on dickbag mode. I feel like Stone Cold would quite enjoy that.
I think Stone Cold would absolutely love that, yeah. I don't know. Jericho's... I was going to say Jericho's the only one that makes sense, but even that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Really, in the grand scheme of things. Like, you'd think there's got to be a WWE link in there somewhere, so you'd think Moxley, but then you're like, has Moxley just completely burnt his bridges with WWE at this point? But then you'd think Chris Jericho has.
Yeah, it was weird when I heard that. I was like, you what?
Genuinely thought it was some kind of late April Fool's type thing.
Moxley would be really interesting, actually, now you say that, because I feel like that's a thing he still wants to... Because remember when he went on before and he talked about it subsequently, being like, yeah, well, I couldn't really be myself. Whereas now, that'd be quality, actually, yeah.
And because, Stone Cold's been on record about saying how disappointed he was in himself after that interview as well, because he felt like he'd let Moxley down by doing a bad interview, hadn't he? So he, because I remember listening to one of his podcasts when it was just a podcast, not a WWE thing, where he was, publicly apologising to Moxley for how bad that interview went. And he genuinely took it personally that he did a really bad job on it. So I think that'd be one that Stone Cold would, want to rectify like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that there's three big ones, really, for me. And mainly, I haven't picked Kenny Omega, for example, because I don't feel like he excels maybe in that sort of scenario. But yeah, Moxley, MJF would just kill it. We just know that Stone Cold would hate him, but kind of love him as a result of that. And Cody, I'd love to see him sit down with Cody and answer all the questions that we all really want answers to. So
yeah,
that'd be
Cody
great.
Would be a very interesting one on the Stone Cold podcast. Matt Hardy as well.
Hardy, yeah. God, it'd be great. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, any of these, but still.
I know.
Let's get this question from JK as we wrap things up here, Phil. JK says, given the first NXT show on Tuesday is post-takeover, yeah, of course, takeover stand delivered tonight and tomorrow night, I think there's a chance we'll have a completely new set of champions on the main NXT brand for that restart show. JK picks... Cross, Gonzalez, MSK, and Cameron Grimes would be the preferred choices. How about yours? So we've got Karrion Kross challenging Finn Balor, of course. Tonight, we've got Raquel Gonzalez challenging Io Shirai. You've got MSK, Legado del Fantasma, who we all kind of know are just there to take the pin, and the grizzled young veterans for those vacant tag team titles. And then the North American Championship is very complicated. Tonight, there's a gauntlet, six men in it. The winner of that goes on to face Gargano. See if I can remember these off the top of my head. Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes. I've got it. I've actually remembered it. Dexter Lumis and L.A. Knight. What do you reckon, Phil? Do you reckon we're going to see lots of title changes? Do you reckon we're going to see a whole new lineup on the start of Tuesday night NXT? And who do you see leaving with those titles?
I kind of hope so. I don't think they'll do it with everything. I think, like, they need a refresh, don't they? Like, yeah. A restart, at least. Like, let's face it, it's not paid out this Wednesday thing. And so it is like a little fresh start, and they might be able to build up a bit of a buzz for that first show on the Tuesday, like get some new eyes on it, or eyes that may not have been to NXT in quite a while. But it's just NXT are struggling to make me super excited about these big shows at the minute. They need something new, something to kickstart it, like to kickstart a new era almost. And I think, yeah, changing the belts up is a great way of doing that. I could definitely see Karrion Kross beating Finn Balor. I'd like that. I will never not pitch to put the Grizzled Young Veterans as the tag champs. Never,
my
ever,
man,
ever.
Yes.
I could see, yeah, I'm down with Raquel Gonzalez beating
Io Shirai.
She has to win
the title tonight for me. Yeah. Yeah.
The US, North American Championship ones, and one I'm not entirely convinced who's going to come out on top.
I love you, Jay, and I've booked this myself on our Wednesday Night War preview for NXT, but Cameron Grimes ain't winning. He ain't winning the gauntlet, and even if he does, I sincerely doubt he'd beat Gargano. I just hate it. It's going to be Lumis, isn't it, Phil? It's going to be bloody Lumis. Yeah. If not finished with this, it's really not for me, and I'm sure there's things like, I don't despise The Fiend, for example. It's not really my cup of tea, but I'm also not to the level of like the Dadleys, who are just like, oh my God, get this off my screen.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, you know, each to their own. It's subjective at the end of the day. Some people like this. I just, I'm not a fan of the Dexter Lumis gimmick, and putting a title on him makes me feel even worse.
Yeah. I'm also just a massive Johnny Gargano mark, so I'll always just want him to have the belts no matter what happens.
Just over 2 years ago now, Phil, since I lent over to you as a very, very casual NXT fan, it has to be said at the time, who was just like, oh, I like the whole Adam Cole, baby. And then about, 20 minutes into that 2-3 falls match, I went, Phil, I think I want Johnny Gargano to win. Still,
never seen it actually play out where someone's allegiances change mid-match because of just how bloody good that match was.
Credit to everyone involved in it, not even just Cole and Gargano, all the Undisputed Era. Honestly, still, it's my favorite wrestling match ever for that exact reason. Right, let's do a final few questions quickly here. Night of the Living podcast says, how would you feel about allowing mid-card champions to move between brands? This could create fresh feuds and help possibly elevate not only Intercontinental and United States champions, but the mid-card as a whole. I like that pitch, Phil.
I like it as an idea. I think I personally prefer it for the tag belts than the mid-card belts, because I think there's a lot more going on in the mid-card belts. Like, if you look at the sort of Intercontinental title scene over on SmackDown, like there's a lot of options all within that. I know it's kind of been tied up with Big E and Apollo Crews for a while, but like before that, there was so many different like moving parts within that division, and you can get like a really good sort of fighting championship out of it, and you don't need to include both brands. I just don't really want the Raw stink all over the Intercontinental title, basically. But in terms of the tag teams, they are severely lacking for any tag teams on any brand.
Yeah.
Like SmackDown have done an okay job at building up a bit of vision ready for what I thought was going to be WrestleMania.
I'm annoyed
and then
they're
not suddenly
on Mania,
shouted
yeah.
it out that they're just doing the four-way on SmackDown for no apparent reason. Or sorry, WrestleMania SmackDown, as they said.
It's not a thing, is it? Show.
Not a thing at all. And like, I was just waiting. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do with those belts, so long as you have at WrestleMania in front of fans, Dominic and Rey holding the belts at the end, and you just get like,
just
there is an automatic
match. Just a big old mad ladder match.
You've got an automatically built-in fantastic little crowd popping moment father and son winning the tag team titles. It means so much to them. The fans would absolutely love it. It's easy. It's so easy. And then they go and put it on SmackDown. I don't know what they're doing. But yeah, so tag team divisions, if you could have those move around, I want to say like the women's tag team belts, but not like the women's tag team belts,
no.
And that you don't put other bloody titles in by involved in it all the time. And then for some reason have the women's tag team belts move to NXT and then give NXT their own women's tag team belts.
I try and give NXT the benefit of the doubt, and I try and be the voice of positivity in the face of the Dudley Boys on our NXT podcast quite a lot. I think that
that's gonna be hard some weeks.
Yeah, I think that will change once they move off Wednesdays, purely because I think we all watch AEW, maybe not this week, but we always usually watch AEW first, and then you're 4 hours into watching wrestling by the end of it all and kind of frustrated by almost anything, and then the tiny little issues that NXT has, which are insignificant when you compare them with the main roster, kind of just really hit home a lot more. But it was just baffling that you had the tag titles on there, two women who merited challenging for the tag titles, who could have won them and then dropped them, and that informed a further, you know, development of Raquel Gonzalez as a potential sort of heel champion. I don't know how they're going to book her if and when she wins the title from Io Shirai tonight. They went, oh, no, screwy finish. Oh, we've made our own belts up. You didn't need to do that. Like you say, you don't need tag titles that are red and blue. Just have one set of tag titles, one set of women's tag titles, and have them float across all shows. Have the men's and the women's go to NXT as well, because you've got some great, like, who else are the tag teams? If Shotzi and Ember Moon defend the tag titles against The Way this week, who else can challenge them? That's it. What, Casey Catanzaro and Kayden Carter? They're kind of busy fighting a 1,000-year-old Dragon Slayer person thing. I don't know. It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling.
And it's not like they didn't know about this problem. They did it with the women's tag team championships, and then they realized, oh, wait, we don't have any women's tag teams. And they've done it with the tag team championships. And they realized, oh, we don't have any tag teams. Like, the overarching story here is WWE don't do tag teams. So, yeah. Get rid of the Raw and SmackDown ones, they're ugly ass belts anyway. Get some new belts and let them float around and just build a bit of a division.
Copy the tag team designs on the tag team belts in AEW for me. I think they're lush. Final question today. I like this one from AFK. What is it about Mick Foley that struck such a chord in you? Yeah, I'd love to know the answer to this, Phil.
I don't know, really, why he did, but he really, really did. The first like thing in wrestling that I ever saw was the Undertaker Kane Foley storylines from like 97, when like Kane was just coming in the Hell in a Cell. And then you got like the Mankind Boiler Room Brawls and all the storylines with Mankind and Paul Bearer. And it was that story as a whole that just completely grabbed me and brought me into wrestling. I remember having this like, I can't remember what it was called. It was like an Undertaker like VHS video, and it was called like The Phenom or something. And it was like a sort of recap of all that storyline from sort of late 96 to like 98. And it was all set. Do you remember that like old school WWE, like really dramatic music that Jim Johnston used to do for these video packages? It was like all set to that with a really dramatic, like deep voiceover. And it was the best thing ever. If I could find that again sometime, I would sit and watch that right now, because it was so much fun. And yeah, I remember wearing out that video so much to the point where it just got crackles on it and stuff, because I was watching it too much as a kid. So yeah, that whole story just grabbed me. And out of that, like Mankind, when he started bringing in the sort of more sort of normal character work from it, when he did that interview with Jim Ross, and then started bringing in the three faces of Foley with like Dude Love and stuff, I just automatically gravitated to him as like not only in ring, because he did things that you just look at a human being and go, what the hell is this? Like, how can someone do that and then still get up and keep on going? But because he sort of brought this sort of human character to it as well. And it just all clicked with me. And yeah, has forever since. Like, he's always going to have a place in my heart and will be my favorite wrestler forever.
And it's mad to think that, like you say, you grew up, you idolized him. And now, I mean, imagine if you could go back in time and tell young Phil Chambers, you'll be working with him designing a mask that makes money for the Cauliflower Alley Club. It's incredible.
ProWrestlingTees.com on Mick Foley's page, you can get that mask. I even saw it like after it went up for the first couple of weeks. It was on the Pro Wrestling Tees like bestsellers like front page thing, and I was like, yeah baby, I did that. So yeah, awesome. Absolutely mad that we've done that. And we've worked with him in Kayfabe News as well. We did an incredible video where he admits that the fall from the Hell in a Cell was faked. I very much suggest you go and watch that on youtube.com/Kayfabe News. He's just a fantastic sport, a great guy. And yeah, just those stories. The first pay-per-view I ever watched when I was fully engrossed in like watching Raw and SmackDown week to week was the Royal Rumble 98 when he came out as the three faces of Foley. Yeah. The first pay-per-view I ever watched live was the Royal Rumble 1999 when I convinced my mum to let me stay up and watch it. Little did she know that I was about to watch a man get beaten half to death with a steel chair by The Rock. And then like my favorite match ever is him versus Triple H at the Royal Rumble 2000 in that street fight. And then yeah, just going all the way to sort of me actually physically crying when he lost at the Hell in a Cell at No Way Out in 2000 as well. And it's like, yeah, he just absolutely captured me as this larger than life ridiculous figure.
I can't think of a better place to finish up than there. Great to chat to you as always, Phil. You can continue the conversation with both of us. You can follow Phil Chambers on Twitter at
Phil My Chambers.
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. We'll be doing loads more of these with all the guys at WhatCulture. So make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling for daily wrestling podcasts. Really enjoy these. And we'll have Phil back on again as well in case we missed your question. We will get back around to doing it with everyone. It's just really good fun, this. It's sort of spiraled.
Yes, I enjoyed this. It's good fun.
Just trying it out. And then everyone, yeah, seems to really enjoy it. So it's great. So we'll hopefully do some more of these with a whole host of What Culture personalities, maybe even Simon Miller down the line at some point, hopefully so. As I said, though, if you want to get your hands last minute on the WrestleMania survival crate from What Culture, topropebrewing.com for our UK audience, just enter the code Here's Why for free delivery. Do that by this Tuesday, the 8th of April, by 2 p.m. if you're in the UK, and they will be delivered in time for WrestleMania 12. Delicious craft beers for £45 all in. Absolute bargain. But anyway, this has been Your Questions Answered. My thanks to Phil Chambers. Thanks to everyone on Twitter who sent in some great questions. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.